So CTVs also have addressable IDs, known as CTV IDs. In fact, if you were to look at sort of CTV data versus mobile data, the IDs kind of structure, they seem similar. But the one huge difference is that the CTV IDs themselves have heavy fragmentation.
You're listening to The Data Point of View, a podcast for anyone interested in using machine learning and consumer data to achieve business objectives. In each episode, members of the Mobile Wallet team are joined by industry leaders and influencers to discuss different ways data and technology can improve predictive modeling, feature engineering, and data enrichment. Let's jump in.
Thank you for listening. I'm Lori Hood, CMO at Mobile Wallet, and this is Data Point of View. Today, joining me are my colleagues in India Data, CEO and founder of Mobile Wallet, and Jim Mahoney, sales leader for the Mobile Wallet CPG practice. Today's podcast is Why CTV is Important for CPG. And COVID-19 accelerated a lot of different viewing behaviors, with consumers spending more time at home, watching streaming entertainment, and many of the major studios either launching or acquiring streaming apps like Disney Plus, Hulu, Peacock, Tubi, HBO Max. I mean, the list goes on. And these acquisitions were made, or these introductions were made, as a hedge against in-person theatrical viewing shutdowns. As many of us know, the theaters closed, Broadway closed, etc. But what this did was this trend resulted in massive viewer growth as well as a corresponding significant ad spend. So we're going to jump right in and get started today. And Jim, why don't you start with some of the challenges that CPG companies are facing and why CTV should be super important to them?
Thanks, Lori. And it's great to be talking with you. And in India, thanks. It's great to chat about this CTV and all the growth that's happening there. And when we talk about challenges, really you have to start with the growth and what the challenges are being caused there. And so, as Lori talked about, the pandemic, a lot of viewership, the proliferation of devices, et cetera. And I think we're showing some statistics from both the IAB and Nielsen on some of that growth. But I think one of the big challenges is that because there's been this movement of not only the eyeballs, but budgets follow that movement. And so you've got almost three quarters of clients shifted money from broadcast into CTV last year, and another third of them expect to spend more in CTV. And so the budgets are really going there. But the other challenge is scarcity. And from that, we mean this year, it depends on who you believe, if it's Group M or IAB, the market for CTV spend is going to be anywhere between $9 billion and $13 billion. And we just had a $4.5 billion upfront in late spring. And so depending on the numbers you're looking at, that's either a third to half of that inventory is already committed through upfront spend. And that's a lot because the networks that have the apps, Peacock for NBC, Tubi for Fox, et cetera. So, and then Disney Plus for ABC. So what that's done is created a scarcity. The other thing we know is, I think this is through the IAB, about 30 to 40% of the inventory for CTV is being purchased programmatically. Well, that means that 60% of it is not, and it's direct. And a lot of that was through that upfront, obviously. But what that creates is issues around frequency capping and really a fragmentation of these buys. So it's much harder. I mean, programmatic spend can be measured and you can do a much better job of understanding your targeting and your sales lift or attribution if you have the right data associated with it. But in a lot of cases, like with YouTube, YouTube has a huge audience. They're probably the largest connected TV with about 120 million a month. But they basically can tell you reach, and they can tell you a little bit whether it's on target reach, but you really don't get a sense for, hey, did it work? Like, you can't compare it to anything. And so that's a big challenge, the scarcity and the fragmentation. I think it'd be interesting for people to understand better sort of the nature of CTV data itself, because it compares differently to things like other digital type of data, like either cookies or maids or what have you. And I think that gets also to part of the problem that we can solve with the use of CTV data.
Thanks, Jim, for asking the question, and thanks, Lori, for moderating this podcast. So that's a wonderful introduction, Lori and Jim, and in particular, Jim, with regard to the fragmentation. So your question was some of the problems you identified. I mean, how does the data available from CTVs, how does it either sort of help address some of those challenges, and how is it sort of different from, let's say, other digital data? So I'll answer this in two ways. The first easy answer is, how is the data different? Well, the closest that CTV data, or the type of data that CTV data resembles the most closely, is data that comes out of in the mobile context, right? I mean, in cookie-based targeting, you actually end up targeting a cookie and not the screen. But in mobile, because screens are attached to IDs, and in CTV, screens are attached to IDs. So CTV data, data that is coming from CTV viewing, is the most similar to data that comes from mobile usage, right? So that's at a high level. And, you know, at a high level, the structure is roughly the same. I mean, what's coming out is the ID of the device, the connectivity of the device, for instance, what IP the device is connected to, and what through which app viewing is happening, type of device, and so on. But there are sort of three, I'll mark three sort of very important differences. The first is with respect to ID. In mobile, by and large, I mean, what I'm about to say is not 100% accurate, because people, individual consumers, can go and turn this off. But in mobile, vast majority of mobile data, you get to see a unique ID, a unique addressable ID, for the device that the consumer is using, you know, and it's known by various names. You know, the generic name is MAIDS, right? Mobile Advertiser ID. If it's an Android device, it's an Android ID. If it's an Apple device, it's an IDFA or an Apple ID. But that ID is, by and large, a singular ID for the device. So from a device, if you use 10 different apps, when data comes out of each of those 10 apps, they refer to the device using the same ID. So that's the first major difference, is that in CTV, this is no longer the case, right? So CTVs also have addressable IDs, known as CTV IDs. In fact, if you were to look at sort of CTV data versus mobile data, the IDs kind of structure, they seem similar. But the one huge difference is that the CTV IDs themselves have heavy fragmentation. So if you are viewing content on a specific TV unit from two different apps, chances are, very likely, the two apps refer to the TV using two different IDs. So that's the first major difference, ID fragmentation. Again, just recapping, in mobile, the mobile device is usually referenced by the same addressable digital identifier by the various apps on that mobile device, whereas in connected TV, that's not the case. If you're watching content on Hulu as opposed to Tubi, the TV will be referenced with different apps. I mean, I'll go into the implications of this later, but just the difference, this is one major difference. The second and the other two major differences relate to two very key characteristics that allow these signals to be used meaningfully by advertisers. First is apps. In mobile, or even in the desktop world, the application through which you consume content has been a very significant identifier, significant indicator of who you are, right? I mean, if you are using a fitness app, you are presumed to have. If you're using a female-centric app, you're more likely to be female. And in sort of the desktop, and especially in the mobile world, app proliferation is huge. Right now, I mean, I couldn't even tell you. I would say that the Apple App Store probably has over 3 million apps now. And again, I'll get into the implications later. One of the significant differences in connected TV is number of apps are far, far, far less, multiple orders of magnitude less, right? We'll get into what this means, but this is a huge difference between the two data types. And the third major difference is sort of goes the other way, right? One of the ways that advertisers, marketers have tried to isolate devices, have tried to identify devices uniquely, especially when in the cases where device identifier is not available, is by the type of device. So iPhone, Android. So the same is true in the CTV world. I mean, you have Samsung and you have LG and Vizio and a whole bunch of TV. But the specific makes and models of TV devices far outnumber the makes and models. Like, for instance, iPhone, if you look across all iPhones, it's iPhone 7 through iPhone 12, they're probably, across all the iPhones, they're probably 100 different models. I mean, I'm making this up, but I don't think I'm too far off in scale. In CTV, a Samsung-specific TV model really is 1,000 submodels, right? And it's kind of the reverse of apps. In apps, there is significantly more fragmentation of apps in mobile, far fewer in CTV. In models, there are far more models in CTV and far fewer in the mobile world, right? So these are, again, recapping the three major differences. First, ID fragmentation. CTV IDs are different. The same TV has different IDs. Second, I can see you're excited with my...
I was so excited about that that my light fell off. I think so. What we're going to do is we're going to pick it up again from your recapping those three. And let me see if I can do something here so that doesn't happen again. But that is really funny. I'm sorry.
Sometimes you can just prop it up.
Recapping the three major differences. First is ID fragmentation. The same TV is usually referred to with different IDs by different apps, whereas the same device, same mobile device, for instance, that's not true. Different apps up on it will refer it using the same ID. That's number one. Number two, far more apps in mobile than on CTV. And number three, far more device models in CTV than in mobile, right? So these are the differences. Let me just spend a few minutes on what the implications of these differences. The ID fragmentation, really, the implications are quite heavy, right? And you were talking about frequency capping, Jim, so I'll bring that into this as well. So what this ID fragmentation, or what gets hard, what gets difficult due to ID fragmentation is to, for advertisers and marketers to understand which unique TV is it that I'm talking about, right? So for instance, if using the same sort of portrait building techniques that have long existed in the digital world, you say that, okay, I believe that the person I'm seeking to reach is likely a user of app A, app B, and app C. In the mobile world, you simply pick the maids that are associated with all three apps. That breaks down in CTV, right? Because each of those three apps might be referring to the TV with different IDs. And as a result, the result is not just difficulty of building portraits. Once you are using those IDs, send content, deliver content onto those TVs, unknowingly to you, all your content could be going to the same TV, actually, right? Because you thought that, hey, and there's no way. In frequency capping, of course, things is you want to distribute your content, and those become very different. The issue that the other two cause are also similar, but they just make the problem harder. For instance, fragmentation of apps in mobile has actually caused the portraiture of consumers to be easier, right? I mean, in the desktop world, for instance, you know, it turns out that there are many more apps than actually websites, right? So the truism is that in mobile, you can do much better portraiture than in desktop. That problem really becomes much, much, much harder in the CTV world. I mean, because in CTV right now, again, I don't know exactly how many apps there are, but the number of apps that people really use is like 10, right? And if you take two mobile devices, randomly and see, hey, let me see which common apps they use, you'll see a bunch of unique apps that each uses. If you take two TVs and say that, let me look at what apps are unique in this and common, you'll find that most of the apps are basically in common, right? So it's hard to distinguish. Basically, app fragmentation makes it hard to distinguish one CTV user from another. And the fragmentation, the much higher fragmentation in model IDs, you know, types of TVs is actually good for CTVs. I mean, given that eventually, like in most cases, you will end up wanting to understand, let's say, the household the TV is in, or the nature of the users of the TV, given that it is easy, even in a household, two TVs are very unlikely to be the same. I mean, they should be easily distinguishable. And that allows you to have much more granularity in, let's say, who viewed content, right? So you might find that particular household, there was one particular TV which was on, and certain people that were not in the household, you can distinguish which TV that was. And you can make a much, much more granular difference between who's watching what TV, right? So these are roughly, I hope this makes sense, but these are some of the more sort of big differences between data and some of the implications. You know, there are clearly other implications, but these are some of the high level implications.
Well, and what that does is kind of reminds you of the types of data that people are able to get today, which is very different from what you're talking about, right? So if I'm Peacock and NBC, I know, because I have logged in users, I know what, and even if they're privacy compliant and anonymous households, what have you, I know what people are watching or what households are watching. And by that, the programs, and there's a lot of depth of data there. But that's only usable when I'm selling advertising into Peacock properties. And the same thing goes for Tubi and what have you. The other thing is I might be using a video ad server. So let's say I'm using a video ad server like Innovid. I know like where I placed those ads. I know what apps they went into. But what I don't see is in a household or in a, let's say, a cohort of households, which would, you know, be privacy compliant, I don't know what the app usage is. And so my understanding of data that we have available is you can get into things for targeting, such as the types of apps that people are using, because if it's Disney Plus, maybe it's a more family-oriented target versus if it's Hulu, maybe it's slightly more adult-oriented, and certainly sports, obviously, for reaching certain individuals. But the other thing that's really helpful with this data would be just light, medium, and heavy CTV use. I mean, so people that are either cord cutters or that they're less likely to be reached in broadcast television. And I know there's a lot of CPG clients that are very interested in reaching those folks. So I don't know if you have some further perspective on that.
You know what, Jim? No, Jim, I'm going to jump in before we dig into that and kind of move into the use cases and ask, let's talk a little bit first about privacy and consent, and what does it mean to get and use this data in the current climate? Because in India, you talked a lot about the aspects of the data, and Jim, you were starting to get into all the cool things you can do, but I want to interrupt you. Before we go a lot deeper into use cases, I think one of the things that's important to talk about are the privacy and consent implications, and where's this data coming from, and how's that consent being obtained, and ensuring that you're partnering with a vendor who is honoring the different opt-outs. And so it's important as you start exploring getting access to CTV data that the vendors are adhering to all of the local, national, international regulatory standards, that they are overtly obtaining consent, that you can get kind of proof of that, and that you can also really, really deeply understand how that vendor's dealing with opt-outs and any other kind of notifications. So I think as you're looking at this data, it's very important to understand how it fits in with your company's current privacy and consent strategies and what that vendor's doing to ensure that they have the rights to share that data. So with that, let's transition into all of the really interesting and compelling use cases that these CPG companies can work to implement as they sort of fill in, complete that picture of their buyers.
So, Anindya, I think you had a comment or a question on one of the things that we covered earlier relative to the some of the targeting opportunities.
That's right. So I was going to say, Jim, that you sort of outlined a couple of, actually more than two, you outlined a few problems that, let's say, somebody like Disney would have, right, under the CTV regime trying to get data. I would like to state a very, very, very basic problem that should highlight the issue that CTV causes. So let's say you are Disney, right? And so you have the Disney app in which you have massive usage. And of course, you have a number of CTV apps as well through which you have usage. As sort of people in this field know, what the Disney, so it's very important for Disney to create portraits of their customers, right? Create portraits of their users. In the app world, Disney knows that here are the devices that are using my apps. And they can simply go out with that and go to any number of data providers and tell them, tell me, and again, in a very privacy compliant way, tell me what other apps these devices use. And pulling that information in, and you could say, okay, tell me the households these devices belong to and so on. They can create very nuanced portraits of the people that are using Disney apps. This completely breaks down in the CTV world. The Disney cannot take the simple operation that almost every publisher does, right? Or Disney cannot go to take, hey, here are the CTV IDs to the Disney app. Can you tell me what else is done? Because those don't match anything else, right? So this is a huge, this is a very significant problem that happens. And of course, this translates into, Laurie was referring to, and you are much more in touch with CPG companies than I am, so I'll let you elaborate. But I would think that this problem then transfers over to large CPG companies as well, who are, of course, interested in understanding holistically who their likely prospect, their current customers and prospective customers, what apps are they using? Which TVs are they on? Same problem sort of arises. So this is a very basic problem in the CTV space that arises in CTV and is not there in other digital channels.
I mean, things as simple as high occupancy households. Like if there's a diversity of apps, CTV apps in a household where, you know, for me, for example, having two adult children that are home during the summer and then they're gone in September, they're off to grad school or they're off to college or what have you. The usage of the apps changes dramatically and the shopping changes dramatically. And so not only the volume of things that you're buying because you have a larger group of people in the house, but also the stores that you're going to go to. Are you going to really go to the Walmart or Target, or is it going to be Kroger or Publix or grocery store because you don't have to make the bigger trips or as frequent and what have you. And so understanding that is critical for CPG clients. I mean, they love to be selling to the household that has teenagers and perhaps a grandmother or grandfather living in the house with two parents. I mean, so four, five, six people in a household generate a lot of laundry. Also, you know, if you're selling beverages, you know, you're selling juice, you're selling water, what have you. I mean, those are interesting to CPG companies because of just they buy more of everything. And understanding the app usage has helped. So, you know, there can be multiple shoppers in that household.
Completely. I live in the state in a broader way. It's yes. So not only does it become harder to identify things like high occupancy households, I'm going to postulate that just household occupancy itself is harder to determine in CTV, right? Because in the mobile world, for instance, right, there are many, many signals that come in that help you disambiguate sort of occupants. For instance, in both CTV and in mobile, typically in the data that you get, you are getting location signals, right? Where the users are allowing location signals to go out. You're getting location signals. And you're getting as many location signals in CTV as you're getting in mobile, which is why I did not bring it up in my differences. But one huge sort of semantic difference is, in the mobile world, those locations change much more than in the CTV world because people are not carrying their TVs with them. So what happens is that in the mobile world, once you see a device and you see that it routinely goes from at night is one place and in the morning is at another place, if you see this pattern that belongs to a person, an occupant, and he or she is going to work in the morning, home at night, such semantic signals become absent in CTV, right? So just the CTV itself, I mean, the CTV itself, because of fewer apps, you have a harder time disambiguating people because of lack of variation in location data. That also creates a similar effect, right? I mean, you're not able to distinguish patterns. So overall, not only is it difficult to identify high occupancy household gym, I think in CTV, just identifying occupants itself, which is a very significant sort of significantly important thing that marketers do in the context of other data, that becomes much more difficult to do in CTV.
Well, and the other outlier you have there is people that, I mean, there's a lot out of viewing happening on mobile, just people's phones, but also on their tablets. And their tablets are more mobile, certainly, than a smart TV would be. And so that's got to be kind of accounted for in some of the data evaluation and sort of the data aggregation that people do. Just two other quick things. One more on targeting, and then definitely want to just chat briefly about measurement. So on the targeting side, the other thing that if you know certain devices, such as gaming devices, that's a critical one, because if, you know, there's a lot of CTV that is accessible through Xbox and so forth, PlayStation. So you've got a lot of people that are watching content that way, but you know a lot about them because of that. And you are able to reach, I mean, you look at CPG clients that have whole brands centered around gaming and sort of the fuel that people need for extended gaming. And I know that a lot of brands are aligned with the fuel you need for binge watching of shows and whole seasons of shows as well. So, but gaming is a really important one. And then I guess the other thing is on attribution. And I know from my recent previous experience that you have, because of the fragmentation and a lot of panel-based transactional data, that attribution, there's a lot of clients in the CPG world that just have given up on attribution and even other forms of measurement that would be maybe less stringent, such as maybe sales lift or what have you. But if you have the right data and some of the right transactional data sets, attribution and at minimum some kind of sales lift measurement is more possible, because you have closer to, at least in my understanding, you know, closer to a census level of data available in the CTV data set than you would otherwise, when it was more fragmented among Charter and Comcast and others who, and also that data will cost a fortune to do. So be interested in your thought, how the measurement landscape changes because of the availability of some of this data.
I agree with you. So clearly, because of what you refer to as population scale, definitely higher scale observability under the same umbrella in CTV, attribution for sales lift, for instance, becomes easier. So I'll just highlight, I mean, I won't repeat what you said, but I'll just highlight one specific attribution scenario that I think becomes harder in the case of CTV. So as you know, Jim, one of the most significant sort of, and there are a bunch of companies that have come up on this, one of the most significant attribution scenarios is visitation attribution. So I show an ad for something, and then I show an ad for a museum, or I show an ad for a DIY store, or I show an ad for, you know, a circus that's coming to town, whatever. And success is measured, was that, did that actually drive the consumer to that, whatever was advertised. So that actually becomes harder, I believe, in the CTV case. In the mobile case, in the mobile sort of, the whole type of attribution came up because people carry their mobile everywhere, right? So if you saw, if the ad was seen on mobile and the mobile was seen at the circus, then it's assumed that you are at the circus. Of course, that breaks down in the case of CTV. So I think location visitation attribution becomes a very challenging element in CTV. And I know, for instance, a couple of companies and some of my entrepreneur friends who are trying to solve that problem by connecting sort of CTV data to other data, right? But of course, CTV data by itself doesn't allow that to happen. But if you can prove the coexistence of, let's say, a mobile device and a CTV, right, that belong to the same household, then through indirect means, such attribution becomes possible. So I just wanted to point that out.
No, y'all, this is great, great conversation, really nice overview, CTV data, some of the challenges, some really compelling use cases. But as we are running out of time, let's kind of wrap it up, the quick fire challenge with sort of what are the three things, what are the takeaways, what are three things companies should be considering as they get at obtaining and leveraging CPG data going forward?
Okay. So I would say that three key things that users of CTV data should be aware of is as follows. The first one is kind of obvious, scale. The scale of CTV data, just, and by scale, I mean the number of signals that are coming and the number of unique devices that there exist is much lower than from other digital sources, right?
Well, do you see that changing over time with prevalence of CTV? And
I don't see the number of devices changing that much, Lori, at least in the United States, because CTV penetration is very high. But of course, in emerging markets, clearly that's going to change.
Okay.
And because large CPG companies, global CPG companies, there are many emerging markets that are major markets for them.
Yeah, makes sense.
But I do believe the number of signals will change. As Jim said, the advertising landscape in CTV is relatively new. So the advertising landscape itself, I believe, will change. The volume of advertising will go up. Budgets will shift as more and more, and with that, signals will go up. And with more signals, the ability to do things with the data will also go up, right?
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
The two others, I believe, I'll give you two, you asked for three, I'll give you two others, which I believe are much more sort of profound, if you will. One is that regardless of the number of TVs or the number of signals, the ability to disambiguate users in the CTV world is much more challenging than in other digital landscapes. And unless that is addressed, the ability to target CTV marketing is going to be constrained, right? I mean, if you cannot know that, hey, this particular household where this TV exists has four individuals, and these are the nature of those individuals, marketing is hard, right?
Yeah.
And now, I mean, let alone nature of those individuals, just knowing there are four individuals itself is a hard problem. So that's one, disambiguating users. And the final thing I'll say is that, so because of the naturally scale constrained kind of nature of CTV data, and some of the endemic problems that's going to make things like disambiguation hard. And I don't foresee how the technology of CTV will change to make that happen. I think the way to make that happen is by combining CTV data with other stuff, right?
Okay.
So things like, what household does the CTV belong to? What other digital channels are being used in the household? And if I can do that, then I should slowly be able to combine CTV signals with, let's say, mobile signal to create really powerful artifacts, right? So the ability to connect TVs to other forms of content consumption also, I believe, is a very important requirement in CTVs that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Jim, any final points to chime in with?
Yeah, can I throw a CPG spin on that? So
yeah.
The VP of Digital for Nestle months ago talked about how they went from a company that was really not collecting first-party data to one that really is quite a bit more now. And so they're exploring all kinds of new sources of data because it's very fragmented and they want to understand their users better. And so that connectivity to the ecosystem is really important because whoever's providing their, supporting their identity graph needs to have the connectivity so that these things are actionable. The second thing is that I think Forrester just did a study with Experian around the types of partners or the number of partners that people are using. And they said that there's, on average, 8 different solutions companies are using today for connectivity and identity and what have you. And then also like 8 solutions and 6 companies that are providing those solutions. And that was a survey of about 300 clients, and 75% of them said that that was kind of their ecosystem. So you need to educate yourself on even companies of all different types that have this type of unique data that can help you. And so that's kind of what we're trying to help people with in CPG.
Well, awesome. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today and for the insight and the perspective in this really important area that's only going to grow and only going to increase, and the need to explore these types of data sources and the key use cases you can address with them is only going to become more apparent. For those of you listening, want to thank you for your time, and please join us for another episode of Data Point of View. Thank you again.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you for checking out this episode of Data Point of View. This show is brought to you by Mobile Walla. Mobile Walla provides consumer intelligence solutions that help data and marketing professionals better understand, model, and predict consumer behavior so they can acquire and retain their best customers. If you enjoyed what you learned in this episode, make sure to follow Data Point of View wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, or visit mobilewalla.com/podcast to get immediate access to all of the latest episodes. The Data Point of View.